Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, foreclosure mediation is the topic, and expert attorney Jeff Giles is the guest. Plus on the Power Pundit panel today, Ty Cobb, Marsha Burt Bigler, and Dory Guides are coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The Retail Association of Nevada, strengthening the business environment for Nevada retailers. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. And the Las Vegas Review Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
Look who benefits from Nevada mining, because mining contributes to products that touch our lives every day. Sensors and airbags and smoke detectors. Lime, gypsum, and copper for construction. Lithium for our smartphones and hybrid car batteries. Gold for life-saving medical equipment. And computers wouldn't work without products from mining. Products used all over the world come from right here in Nevada. Mining supports Nevada's families and their dreams. Visit our website and learn more.
As an employer, did you know you can be held liable for negligent hiring? A background screening by Employer Links can uncover criminal records, like alcohol and drug convictions. It can verify the applicant's education, driving records, and professional licenses. Employer Links can check civil records, registered sex offender records, and social security fraud. Hiring the right person shouldn't be a gamble. Call Employer Links. Employer Links, protecting your investment.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the crossroads of Western States distribution. From here at the USA Parkway Interchange, drivers can reach most locations in the Western region in one day or less. TRI also provides rail service on Union Pacific Rail Main Line and from the Burlington Northern Santa Fe Rail Companies. And with only a 15-minute drive to the Reno-Tahoe International Airport, this makes TRI the crossroads of Western States distribution. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are joined by attorney Jeffrey Giles. He is an expert in foreclosure mediation. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Morning. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm doing great. Where are we in the state at this point? Things have changed, have they not, dramatically over the last several months with the situation between the courts and the banks?
There have been a lot of changes. We're in the third year of foreclosure mediation, and it has put the brakes on foreclosures. October 1st was a big deal. There were some new changes that came into effect, and because of those statutory enactments that came about in June, the foreclosures dropped from 4,000 a month to 40 a month.
4,000 to 40.
Correct. Of course, you start a foreclosure by filing something called a notice of default, and those just went down enormously because the new law requires certain documents be provided with the notice of default, and the banks simply aren't getting them, or in my view, I don't think a lot of them can get them. Because of the way the industry has structured itself, this information just isn't available. And because of that, I think there's going to be something called judicial foreclosures that is going to come about in the fairly near future. Well, in Nevada now, we have a system of non-judicial foreclosures. And about 20 states in the country have judicial, 30 have non-judicial, and that is simply where a title company or a foreclosure company files paperwork, time passes, and they have a sale in the courthouse steps. And to do that, they have to now have special information, special documentation that they can't get in many cases. And because of that, I think they're going to go the judicial route, which means filing a lawsuit. And that is going to be very good news for Nevadans that are in trouble, because if they file a lawsuit, then the the homeowner can file a countersuit and bring up all sorts of things, which has never been possible in the past.
But it's going to cost the homeowner money to be able to get that kind of representation, far more than the mediation program.
Probably will. It probably will. But there are certainly some statutes out there that provide for fee shifting. That is, if the homeowner prevails, they can make the bank pay some legal fees, things like that. And I think it's going to be an amazing opportunity for Nevadans in the future if my prediction comes out right. Now, I was talking to bank counsel yesterday. He thinks there's going to be some of these kinds of foreclosures, but it's not going to be significant. And given the number of foreclosures before and after the statutory change, October 1st, I doubt that. I think that the banks are hamstrung now, and if they want to, you know, get the property back from defaulting homeowners, they're going to have to go this route in a lot of cases.
That was interesting. The judge in Northern Nevada that's responsible for seeing the cases in this foreclosure mediation program fined a bank, but it was a small amount of money, and it didn't end up going to the homeowner. It ended up going to legal aid. What do you think about that?
Well, I think that's a good result. I you know, these are not supposed to be windfalls for defaulting homeowners. In fact, every time I see a lawsuit of some kind, the very first thing the bank's lawyer says is, this guy hasn't paid in a year. Well, that's irrelevant, and it's just as irrelevant as the fact that the bank took $5 billion from the Treasury under the TARP program 3 years ago. Those don't matter. That doesn't have anything to do with the present situation. And I think that that's got to be something that the courts, you know, are going to have to take into account. I personally have seen it go both ways in cases of mine, awards to the homeowner and awards to, say, Nevada Legal Services or something like that. And I don't have an opinion about that one way or the other. But it's important that, you know, the judges, when the banks do something wrong, take cognizance of that and do something appropriate for the homeowner.
Are you seeing any kind of change in attitude from either the banks or the services?
Yes. The holy grail of this whole business is principal reductions in mortgage cases. And that is starting to come about. It is by no means common, but 2 years ago it was just unheard of. And now the banks are starting to realize they simply can't absorb any more of this real estate. They have to make deals to keep people in their houses, and they're starting to knock down principal balances on loans commensurate with the value of the property, which then enables the homeowner to resume payments, and the downstream investors in these mortgages then start getting their money again, and everybody is happy. It's something that has not happened previously because of the very complicated nature of the way the industry has structured itself. There's so many parties involved. You know, the AB 149 law was written with the idea that the bank and the homeowner would get together. But there is no, quote, bank. There is a servicer who comes forward, like Wells Fargo or Bank of America or one of the big companies, but they represent parties downstream that you never hear about. And
these are all these very complicated financial arrangements that were put together, these instruments that are perhaps thousands of investors.
Oh, millions of investors. These are called REMICs, real estate mortgage investment conduits, and they have guarantees, they have default credit swaps, they have mortgage insurance, and you know, you ask who the lender is in a given case, it's just not possible to answer that question with any kind of certainty. You know, it's a lot of people have an interest in the outcome. And in fact, part of the problem with the process is that the servicer, the person that you pay your monthly payment to, that party can make more money by foreclosing than it can by making a deal with you.
How does that work?
Well, that's really a very complicated question. The deal that the bank has with the investor is a very complicated document, and frequently in that document called a pooling and servicing agreement, the bank is required to make the payments to the investor even when the homeowner is not. So, you know, in good times the bank is making 50 or 100 bucks a month on the servicing, and the bad times it's losing $1,000, $2,000 a month because it's making those upstream payments. There's provisions that once the house forecloses, insurance companies come in and reimburse the bank, and because of arrangements like that, it's very difficult to get a handle on these cases, and that is one of the things that has been such a hindrance in the process of renegotiating mortgages is this background play, if you will, that is hard to get a handle on.
All right, let's take a break. More with Jeff Giles when we come back.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductors Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
Technology make our lives better. Will geothermal, wind, and solar energy be a bigger part of our future? Yes. And soon it will all be in our backyard. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
The Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Attorney Jeff Giles, an expert in foreclosure mediation. So bottom line is that you're saying that really the investors are not getting a fair shake because the homeowner never gets to negotiate with them. They're negotiating with the middleman, and it's not in the middleman's best interest to cut a deal.
That's precisely the problem with the way the system works. You know, the law was written with the idea that it was like the old mom and pop days when, you know, you had a homeowner and a bank, a local banker who had written the note, and it's all in Wall Street now. And to go back and find who the real party in interest is in these things is the devil's in the details. And it's darn near impossible to do because of the way the securitization industry has set itself up. So you have to find somebody who's got authority to do something, and unfortunately, the servicers that, you know, come to the mediations have gotten very good at persuading everybody they're acting in good faith, when in fact they're acting in a complete self-interested way, and they don't care what happens to the investors who own the bonds and these REMICs.
Let me bring this up. Why has there not been an investor revolution in this country where people are losing billions of dollars, I would imagine, at this point in time, and these investors have not come back and said, hey, we've got a stake in this?
Oh, they are. There is immense litigation going on. It's all in New York, and I think it's all in the East Coast, where these investors bought up so many percent of the bonds, and they've sued the servicers for modifying too many of the loans. I mean, they're just on the opposite side of the coin. Bank of America got sued by all the state attorneys general across the United States, including Nevada, and they made deals. They agreed to rewrite these mortgages. They didn't consult the investors, and now the investors have filed this billion-dollar action against Bank of America, and if they win, that'll be the end of Bank of America. I mean, Bank of America has been paying out $2-3 billion settlements here and there, but I think this lawsuit is for $80 billion.
And this comes from their purchase of Countrywide.
It all stems from the legacy loans of Countrywide and the mess that that Countrywide created, and it's never going to be untangled. This is the Edsel of the financial world, the Countrywide Bank of America acquisition.
What But now, the other thing that seems to me to be completely stupid is that you can't even get into a mediation if you're continuing to pay. You can't actually start a conversation and have your credit maintained, which seems to be absurd.
Right. Well, the HAMP program that Obama initiated and that closes at the end of this year supposedly lets you do that. You file a HAMP application, and that's Home's Affordable Modification Plan. You can get those off the internet. Just Google it and send that in, and the banks will look at them. And maybe they'll make a deal with you, maybe they won't. There's no downside in doing it, and the banks do get a spiff from the government for every time they consider one of these HAMP applications. And there's some very rigid rules, and it's all keyed into affordability, has nothing to do with home values and things like that. It does happen. I have clients that approach me, and they say, well, I got this HAMP modification, and here it is, and now I can't pay that, and I'm in default again, and what can I do? But it's possible to do that. The foreclosure mediation program was strictly structured on a formal foreclosure being commenced against the homeowner and a requirement that the parties get together and meet if the homeowner files paperwork and pays a fee within a certain period of time.
What do you think about Nevada's Attorney General, Catherine Cortez Masto, who has pretty much gone out there relatively on her own in fighting these banks? She's not going along to get along with the rest of the state's attorney generals.
Well, I think she's doing a good job. I was looking at that suit she brought just a couple weeks ago, and I hope she can get it on. Unfortunately, that case got pulled into federal court, and the federal judges in Nevada have not been reticent to address these kind of questions. A lot of foreclosure issues are novel issues of Nevada foreclosure law that the Nevada Supreme Court has never addressed, and the federal courts are empowered to guess at what this law would be if it ever got to the Nevada Supreme Court. And there's a huge body of case law now that has been made up by the federal courts. It's not binding on anybody. It's not precedential. But nonetheless, the courts are considering these cases and ruling on them. And I think Mastos was disappointed by the fact that her case got pulled into federal court. She tried to get it remanded, that is, sent back to state court, without success. And that's really what's going on in virtually 100% of lawsuits that are filed against banks these days.
Okay, last quick question. We only got about 15 seconds here. But where do you think this is all going to end?
That's really a good question. I thought it would all end last year. I thought we'd hit the bottom last year and things would turn around, and that's just not happened. You know, it's anybody's guess. I would probably be in the south of France or, you know, on a yacht if I had that one figured out, because that's like knowing the stock market.
Okay. Where we got to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you on the program, sir.
Thank you, Sam.
We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
Is chronic back pain inhibiting your lifestyle and your quality of life? I'm Dr. Brian Hansen. At ProSpinal, we specialize in a revolutionary, highly successful treatment known as non-surgical spinal decompression.
My leg gave out on me, and I knew something immediately was wrong.
I found this technique works especially well for disc herniation, disc bulge, sciatica, stenosis, and degenerative disc disease.
Exactly 15 minutes after the treatment began, the pain was gone. I mean, it was amazing.
My primary goal is to get you or a loved one back to a pain-free and very active lifestyle. In just 3 days, most of our patients experience that relief. But if that's not the case, those 3 days are complimentary.
There's no pressure, and I think you'll be totally amazed with the results.
Our consultations are always free, and we offer a 3-day no-risk trial to all qualified candidates. Give ProSpinal a call today at 336-3472 or visit us online at prospinalinc.com.
Here's important news for Medicare beneficiaries with diabetes.
These new alternate site, no-code meters make testing easier than ever and eliminate painful finger pricks. You can receive one of these new meters free. And with Medicare or private insurance, your testing supplies may also be covered with free delivery.
Call 1-800-211-8014 now. That's 1-800-211-8014. The call is free and there's no obligation.
1-800-MEDICINE. for all your health care needs.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Ty Cobb is here, the former special assistant to President Reagan, Marsha Burt Bigler, partner of Nevada Business Strategies, and Dory Guy, chair of the Washoe Dems. Pleasure to have you all here.
Thank you.
It was an interesting letter to the editor about a few days ago from Carla Sloan of AARP Nevada. And she was responding to a column by Glenn Cook, the editorial writer and frequent guest on this program, who suggested that Social Security was broken, that the trust fund was gone. And she says this is simply not true. The funds were in U.S. Treasury bonds, the safest investment in the world. These bonds are backed by the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, which has never defaulted on its commitments. Social Security is currently able to pay full benefits through 2037, and after that, payroll taxes coming in are enough to cover roughly 75% of the promised benefit. That's 2037. Does that sound broke to you? Does that sound broke to you, Ty Cobb?
Yes, I think it's nearing that. Because it's based on the full faith and credit of the U.S. government, which is now about 98% of our GDP is debt ratio. Only five of the European countries are worse off than we are. And right now, 32% of our money that we're spending goes to pay interest on the debt. I don't really see how we're going to fulfill all of the obligations we made under the entitlement programs.
I disagree completely. I think she's absolutely correct. And I've been told many times that we're solvent until 2037 by many different people, and I completely agree with her article.
How far out do we need to be solvent for this to be solvent?
A little concerning for me. We have all these people coming in that are going to be using these funds. Hopefully me, one of these days. I don't think it needs to be out a lot further than that for it to be solvent. I would think that even more money coming in, how is that? Are we counting on a big, large number of people who are now collecting are going to die? So the new people coming in, you know.
Well, I agree. Perhaps we need to. Hang on.
They are going to die eventually.
But they're living longer.
That's my point.
The concern I
have. That's my point. I think maybe we need to take a look at it as far as the retirement age is concerned, because older people are not as old as they were when my parents' generation were there collecting Social Security. And a lot of older people are working now to their 70s, 75, well into their 70s. And perhaps we need to look at it in that respect. I get a little irritated at times about people starting to collect that really haven't paid into it like they should.
I have a big concern about that.
But you do know that it's paid on a sliding scale according to what you've actually paid into it. And hopefully it won't be that much.
Now, Ty, you're a very young-looking man, but I know that you're probably collecting some kind of retirement and Social Security, but you're also extremely active. Shouldn't we be looking at raising the age?
I think we need to... I would agree with Marsha and Dory. We need to raise the age at which you start collecting Social Security. And I think we need to means test it, although I can understand the objection. Somebody said, wait a minute, I've been a great steward of my money all my life. Somebody down the street here has been a wastrel, and now they're broke, and I'm supposed to support them. And also, as you said, there are a lot of people who retire who didn't have to pay into Social Security, or who would have a side job where they did, got their 28 quarters, now they're collecting Social Security, but they invest in a private program. Why should they not also be penalized? Why should they not also have to help? But there is no alternative but to cut the Medicare entitlements and to means test Social Security, extend the age of when you're eligible.
Is that going to make it solvent beyond 2036 or whatever?
Well, it will help, but we're just so deep in debt that you see what was happening to the defense budget. It was excruciating defense guidance that came out last week that really pares down the amount of the capability of the U.S. Armed Forces. So we have to look at cuts in a number of areas.
What do you think about the pare down at the defense?
I think it's fiscally responsible. It's risky. But we've had a strategy of being able to conduct 2.5 wars, 2 major contingencies, half a war. But I don't think anybody really ever believed that we could do it. And I think this is a more realistic strategy.
Marsha, I
was just going to say, I think the real issue here is that this the budget is so bad. Senator Amity, a couple of days ago, was talking about the...
Congressman.
He's not been promoted yet. That's right. He used to be a senator at the state of Congressman Amity, was talking about the fact that we're spending trillions, or trillions of dollars in debt, and that's really the issue. That's really where we've got to resolve that problem, because we can't fix Social Security. We can't fix all the other social programs, if you will, until we do something about that budget. We have got to stop spending more than we earn.
But that means we all have to write to our congressmen and senators and say, start thinking 10 to 25 years out instead of until your next reelection campaign.
Right, exactly.
I agree.
And I agree. Our biggest output of the budget has been our wars that we've been involved in. And I think paring down what's going on is fiscally responsible.
That's not true. The wars have been costly. They've been fought off a balance sheet, which was wrong. But the biggest drain are really the entitlement programs, not defense.
Correct.
Right now, defense is about 3.5% of GDP, and the Eisenhower era was around 8 or 9%. So it's not the big factor, but it's taken
it certainly helps us.
It's taken a $457 billion hit.
Right.
All right, and love to talk to you more about the whole military budget, because I think that the direction we're heading in is not as scary as it might have been. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Discover the passion. Vanessa, Nights of Fire, opening in the El Dorado showroom January 24th. Call 786-5700.
The amazing Chef Basket is the kitchen product of the year. Your food cooks right in the Chef Basket. And even in rapidly boiling water, the specially designed handles remain totally cool to the touch. Amazing! Then just grab the handles and your food goes right from the pot to the plate. The Chef Basket does it all, from draining to straining, to cooking to steaming, even deep frying, and much, much more. One of the most versatile kitchen items ever. It's 12 tools in one, and it folds flat for easy storage anywhere. Thanks to tremendous demand, we're slashing the price to $10. But order now, and we'll double the offer. Order today and find out about free shipping. But wait, we'll also send you RoboStir. Just pay separate processing. Just hit the button, and it stirs all by itself. RoboStir does all the work, so you don't have to. You get all this for just $10 if you order now.
Call 1-800-216-6709 to get your chef basket and get a chef guide in the RoboStir with your order. That's 1-800-216-6709. Call now.
Attention antidepressant users. The FDA has associated the use of certain antidepressants with birth defects.
If you took Celexa, Lexapro, Paxil, Effexor, Zoloft, Prozac, or Prestique and had a child born with a serious birth defect, call the Relion Group now.
Do not delay. There are time deadlines to file a claim.
There is absolutely no risk on your part. You don't owe us a penny unless we are successful.
Call the Relion Group at 1-800-394-2179.
This month, Tuesdays are total action with adrenaline-charged movies, kicking it into overdrive.
Only a ninja can stop a ninja.
And hammering it home all day long. It's not just Tuesday anymore. It's Total Action Tuesday on this.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. On the next broadcast, the irrepressible George Harris will be here, chairman of Nevadans for Sound Government, supporting Newt Gingrich right here.